This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Yo, good morning.
Guten Morgen. We're like Phil and Frank.
What up, buddy?
Phil and Frank, Covino and Rich. Normally on from 2 to 4 on the West, 5 to 7 on the East, Monday through Friday. And we have a bonus podcast if you guys want to see what you hear called overpromise, because Blubberlips Davis usually overpromises things we never get to. Get an extra hour in for the DP show, day two of the Dan Patrick Hat Trick. Again, good morning, and thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for checking out our podcast. Just search Covino and Rich. We also have a Patreon, so always staying busy and always an honor to be in for the DP show.
Now, how is Jason Kelce and Caitlin Clark the same? I'll explain in a minute, but I just need a quick answer from you, Danny G. Joel, you guys want to chime in? Love to hear your thoughts on a fight that was going down on one of my group texts last night.
Oh, boy.
So, UConn-Purdue, men's final game. March Madness culminates. One shining moment. Montage after midnight.
Yeah.
My East Coast buddies are fighting about UConn.
Who? Tony and Vinny going at it.
My buddy Mikey.
Carmine getting fired up.
My buddy Mikey and Chris.
Okay.
And here's the argument. Want your thoughts. So my buddy Chris went to his undergrad at a small college in Connecticut called Fairfield.
Okay.
Graduated. Got a job. Years later got married. He's got a couple boys. All the guy does is work, watch the Mets, and coach like three different little league teams.
Okay.
His life. He's living that sports dad life.
Dad life.
Yeah. The last couple weeks, he's been all like, yeah, UConn. And we're like, UConn? You're a Mets fan, you're a Rangers fan, and you're a Giants fan. Well, what's this UConn thing? And here's his answer.
Oh.
I think he works for American Express. And he's like, you know, he's sort of a big dog there. He's like, back in 2010, they paid for me to get my master's, and I went to UConn.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, hold on now. No, no.
What do you mean, no, no?
I was like, online? Did you go to the campus? I'm like, you can't claim you went somewhere. I have a rule. Tell me if you like this rule.
I already don't like your rule.
If you haven't been drunk on the campus, haven't slept with someone on the campus, or know the local bars and restaurants on the campus.
How do you know he didn't sleep with somebody
on
the campus?
You can't say.
Maybe he just can't tell you.
You can't say, oh, I'm alumni. Because you got your master's.
What do you mean? You should take this theory and shove it. What are you talking about?
Danny G, if you got your master's there
if
online.
If I was this guy, I would want to reach through the phone and punch this guy in the nose.
Nowadays, Rich, you can't make that rule because so many people do school online.
I was like, you might as well tell me you went to the University of Phoenix.
Are you going to tell me my daughter didn't pass fifth grade because she had to do it online?
Look, COVID,
in the pandemic?
But listen, COVID exceptions, forget that nonsense. I'm saying, for instance, you went to Montclair State, I went to Syracuse. You went there. You lived in a dorm. You had random shenanigans. You drank. You partied. You smoked weed. You went to class. You walked campus.
You had to stumble across the campus at night.
You had to
stumble across the quad for it to count.
You've eaten in the food court. You've sat in the student section at a game.
I sure did.
If your company paid for you to get your master's online, you can't say you went to that college.
What if you go there for the graduation? Aha!
Rich didn't even walk. So I think that's even weaker. I think
that's a good one, Joe.
You didn't really graduate.
Yeah, you didn't graduate. Get out of here with your stupid rules. I don't like your rule. I think he absolutely got a degree from that university.
As an adult.
Hey, dude, there's people that don't even show up to work because they could do it from home. They still work from that place. In today's world, like Danny G said, more than ever that matters. More than ever that counts. There's so many moms, too, that are busy being moms, or your friend busy being a dad, that are taking online classes. How are you going to tell me that doesn't count? Of course that counts.
What I'm saying is there is a distinct difference
There's a difference, but it counts. There's no difference.
My buddy went to Fairfield.
Your buddy graduated from UConn.
No, he went.
He's UConn Cornelius.
He went to Fairfield, graduated in the early 2000s. A decade later, because his company's like, you know, we'll pay for you to get your master's.
Yeah, and
He took some online classes. Now you tell me he's alumni?
By the way, that sounds like a nightmare to me. I wouldn't want to sit there. Dude, I dread taking human resources classes from this company.
Do we have to do one again?
When Boss Man hits us up and he's like, yeah, you're overdue on one of your HR courses for Fox Sports and iHeart, I'm like, I want to pay my daughter to do it for me. Hey, can you sit here and just do this?
There's another one due on the 17th.
Oh, I hate it. Joel, I dread it. So I actually give your buddy more credit for having the patience to put his dad life aside and
daughter,
sit there and actually do this.
That's challenging. $20 to do mine too?
Yeah, man. It's a nightmare.
Based on the dump button situation in the afternoons with you guys, you don't watch those videos.
Maybe I need to watch that course.
Maybe we should pay closer attention.
Here's a hint. Turn it on.
My point is, actually, I have a theory on how to do that, by the way. This is a whole, I don't want to take you off your tangent, Rich.
No, here's how you take an HR course. They have a quiz
at the end of it, though.
Well, here's what you do. Here's my method, and it works every time, okay? Every time. You pick the lamest possible answer, and it's 99% of the time the correct answer.
Oh, it's true. Who is wrong in this scenario? And it's like, if like C is like, John is inappropriate with everything you did. You're like, that's the one.
Yeah. So you don't even have to pay attention. You just read the three answers, right? And it's the lamest possible one. You hit that, you're correct. Ta-da.
Well, you're really going to like this one because you can choose the wrong answer and it just keeps right on going.
John told Stephanie she looked pretty at work. John's a piece of garbage.
John is the worst guy ever.
Wrong, but oh well, let's move on.
You're moving on. Hey,
John needs to be better looking to ask her out on a date.
My point is, those tests are dreadful and miserable. So for your friend to be able to do this and still pass and graduate from a prestigious university, good for him for being proud. I think that's awesome. Hey, man, I would do it if I could.
All I'm saying, and I stand by this, if you got your master's online at a college, you are not an alumni.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. More Kavino and Rich in for Dan Patrick next on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, we're Kavino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio, every day, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. But here's the thing. We never have enough time to get to everything we want to get to.
And that's why we have a brand new podcast called Overpromised. You see, we're having so much fun in our two-hour show, we never get to everything. Honestly, because this guy is overpromising things we never have time for. Yeah, you blubber lips.
Blaming me. Well, you know what? It's called overpromise. You should be good at it because you've been overpromising women for years.
Well, it's a Kavino and Rich after show, and we want you to be a part of it. We're going to be talking sports, of course, but we're also going to talk life and relationships. And if Rich and I are arguing about something or we didn't have enough time, it will continue on our after show called Overpromised.
Well, if you don't get enough Kavino and Rich, make sure you check out Overpromised and also Uncensored, by the way, so maybe we'll go at it even a little harder. It's going to be the best after-show podcast of all time.
There you go. Overpromising. Perfect. And remember, you could see it on YouTube, but definitely join us. Listen to Overpromised with Kavino and Rich on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Kavino and Rich in for the amazing Dan Patrick. Love filling in for Dan. It's an honor, a pleasure. And we're talking about bad neighbors. Mike, who runs this place?
Yeah.
Said,
who?
Mike, who runs this place?
Yeah, the guy that runs this place.
You know Mike.
Mike was saying that when he was a kid, he doesn't know how they did it, but anytime a ball would go over his neighbor's fence, they would cut the ball in half and then throw it back.
And throw it back. I'm like, cut it in half. He's like,
the in
person
half.
Would cut a baseball in half. That's like real commitment and hatred. Like, that's that's real disdain.
I hate kids.
Edward Scissorhands is next door neighbor.
I'm like, they would cut the baseball. He was like, yeah, I don't know how they did it. We're live from Mercedes-Benz Studios, and congrats to Dan Patrick listener Ray S., who won the DP Celebrity Bracket Challenge, and congrats to Todd Fitz.
Yo, Fritzy?
Yeah, Fritzy, who won the Bracket Challenge amongst the celebrities. Check out the final standings at foxsportsradio.com, and thanks to NetSuite, because the DP Celebrity Bracket Challenge was powered by NetSuite. So Todd Fritz and Ray S. tearing it up. Now stick around, because every Wednesday on the Covino and Rich Show, which normally airs from 2 to 4 on the West, 5 to 7 on the East, we do Midweek Major. Every midweek, we go over the biggest stories in sports and pop culture. Are they midweek or major? We're going to do that. But let's do a little crossfire way back on a Wednesday.
Crossfire!
A little rapid fire
you'll
on the...
You'll get caught up in the...
Crossfire! A little phone action at 877-99 on Fox.
Yeah, based on that piece of garbage that has garbage all over their house. It's all over the national news. The biggest trash bag out there.
Seven tons of trash removed from this one house. It was all over the front and backyard. Forget about the inside of the house. This was the outside of the house.
You think your neighbor's bad. Cameron in Indiana. What's up, Cam?
Yeah, hey. So my neighbor currently, I just moved in October, and he has been going absolutely ballistic. Let me fill you guys in. So I paid $1,000 to fix the entire fence that needed repaired. Now, I got a mini golden noodle that's about like 30 pounds. Well, I couldn't figure out how this little whatever was getting out. So anyways, she got out like twice, and it went from, you know, get your dog inside to absolutely cussing me out and threatening to
You know, your phone's terrible, Cam, but I get what you're saying. Your dog. Did you see that viral clip like maybe a couple months back where some psycho neighbor with the cat? Did you see that? Where the guy's like, what, you're trying to get with my cat? It's like, oh, get with my cat?
I did see that.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it
up. There's just so many stories, man. People are so weird.
Matt in Long Beach, you're on CNR.
Stop
in for
being
Dan.
Weirdos.
Hello?
Hey.
What's up, bud?
Hey, I got a neighbor story. Let's just call her Kathy Bates from Misery. So I bought this house in Belmont Shore many years ago, and she lived next door, and there was a disclosure agreement. I'm all, she can't be that bad. So I met her a couple months. Hey, how you doing? Yada, yada, yada. Then she would call the cops on me in Long Beach, when I wasn't even there, like multiple times, just trying to plant the seed, like I was the problem child. Meanwhile, she's smoking weed all day long. And then she would go and hop my back fence and drill into my house and put up a dog gate to trap my dog inside the dog run.
You know what's wild? Thank you, Matt. Nightmares. You're going to get a lot of pet stories. You have the Ring doorbell app? Does everyone have Ring or some type of, you know, doorbell? Ding, ding, ding. 90% of the little updates are, my pet got out. I could promise you, there's probably vengeful neighbors that are like, I'm going to let their pet out. It's not always the landscaper. I guarantee there's like spiteful, terrible people that are
really is the update all the time.
Yeah. Alan in SoCal.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah, I just want to say I was actually that bad neighbor with the horrible yard, let it go, full of weeds, 6 feet high, and my neighbor actually did all the work as far as hiring a contractor, a person that would come out, reseed it, put a new sprinkler system.
What happened? You just got lazy or you hurt your back or something? What's your excuse?
Just got lazy.
Stop being lazy.
Yeah, you lazy bum.
Bring
I like
it
you,
down
Alan.
The neighborhood.
All right, let's do one or two more quickies. Jeff, AZ, Arizona. What's up, bud?
All the work.
What's up?
Hey, how we doing? I'm listening to your show this morning.
Oh, thanks,
Here's
man.
A great neighborhood story. So I'm moving to this neighborhood, and this guy's got a front area where he can park three cars. So I noticed there was just a couple cars in there and a boat. So I'm walking my dog down his alley, and I look in his backyard over his fence, and it's filled with buckets and buckets of bolts and nuts and parts from a plumbing place.
Ugh.
Then he's got steel pieces from like axles off of cars.
I guess car parts is better than body parts.
Let me tell you
some of those stories on Netflix.
We don't need to take any more. We got to get into Midweek Major. But I got to say, a gross neighbor will ruin your experience. I had a rental house in Texas for a little while.
Yeah.
And when I was selling the house, I was mortified because one of the neighbors, you could see their hoarding of like little tractor parts and this and that. And, you know, they had like coolers on the front lawn. I'm like, God, I'm trying to sell this house. Stop being a piece of trash.
Yeah, it doesn't help. No. So again, 7 tons removed from this house in Fairfax. Again, from the outside. That's not even the inside of the house. And that brings us to Midweek Major.
Covino and Rich gets you over the middle of the week with Midweek Major.
Ooh, I love that.
We throw sports and pop culture headlines and topics at the fellas, and it's like the kids say.
That's so mid. Week, definitely major.
CNR scoring. Midweek Major.
Aw, yeah. MCing today here with you. When you hear the horns hit, you know you've made it to the middle of the week. Now, before we hand things over to the number one and only host of this feature, we like to roll the big red love dice in the main studio.
These are Danny G's sticky red love
dice.
Oh,
please. All right, what do you got?
All right, Covino first.
All right, I just rolled a...
Eight.
Hard eight. And Rich rolled...
A nine!
All right, Rich gets to go first. And now, the most famous person out of Rialto, California, outside of Ronnie Lott and J.J. Fad, it's Danny G.
Hey! Thank you, Nico.
Oh, stop. Hold your applause. Wait, you already are.
All the hottest stories in the world of sports and entertainment, Danny. Let's
Danny, the most buttery voice in radio.
Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. He was podcasting, no big surprise there. He said he really fell back in love with the game of football after being traded to New York. And quote, it was absolutely beautiful, special, and deep, and rich, and yummy, and just incredible. And then one of the most heartbreaking nights of my life when I played four plays. Guys, Rogers calling football yummy, midweek or major.
You know, I go first. So, you know, I think this is, I think it's major.
Major.
That'll tell you what.
Get out of here.
Because I think football's yummy, too. I love football. But you know what? I do get the sense that Aaron Rodgers, if you watch Hard Knocks on HBO Max, which I did, put aside the politics and what you might think of Aaron Rodgers personally, he really led that team. He was really a leader. The fans and the teammates he had with the Jets really did embrace him. And I thought we were going to see a hell of a lot of fun last year. And I think we just push it back to this year. I think Aaron Rodgers still got gas in the tank. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a little rebirth in New York. Just delayed by 1 year.
It's not. It's a mid-story at best. Everything about that night was weak, to be honest. But it's a mid-story. Yummy? Crumble cookies are yummy. Football's not yummy. It's like how Rich says everything's cute. No, puppies and babies are cute. Stop saying that. You're a grown man. Yummy.
Yeah, that's cute.
You know, it's not yummy. When those cookies at home are calling my name from the pantry, Covino, eat us. Cookies are yummy. Football, not yummy. So,
All right. Hopefully the next story here is delicious.
Okay.
Viewership for Monday night's men's championship game was up slightly from UConn's victory a year ago. But UConn's win averaged just under 4 million viewers, fewer than South Carolina's victory over Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Rich, is this mid, week, or major?
This is major. This is major, and listen, the sports media world, TV, radio, everyone's piling on the whole breakthrough in women's sports, which it is, but we got to remember why. It's because of the great characters and personalities, and women's college hoops is keeping these women around because of NIL, because of opportunities. I truly believe that it will be a slight struggle to keep that enthusiasm when Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and these stars go to the WNBA. Will you have the same enthusiasm for the Indiana Fever as you did for Iowa LSU? Probably not. But I think it is a big step for women's hoops and women's sports in general. Think about it. Even if it drops off a lot next year, Covino, even if they lost a bunch of viewers, it's still on par with the men. I think this is a big step.
I have to agree with Rich. I don't want to agree with Rich, but this is major.
Definitely major.
The women had more viewers, more buzz. It was more exciting, right? When's the last time you said that? But on the positive, even though the UConn game had 4 million less than the women, it was still more than their previous win, still more than last year. It's not like the men went down.
Yeah.
The viewership for the men increased, but it just goes to show you how popular the women were this year. So props to them. Just want to see them keep that momentum, not only in the WNBA, but also in college basketball. So props.
All right, Tiger Woods, y'all. He spoke about winning the Masters again. Quote, if everything comes together, I believe I can get one more. Rich, Tiger's confidence, mid, week, or major?
I think it's major. Listen, you know, I'm going to compare it to Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. They always say, what goes last in a fighter? Power and strength is the last to go, right? Mike Tyson could have that one last punch against Jake Paul. Tiger Woods, the greatest of all time. Maybe he's got one more. Maybe the one we saw a couple years ago was the last one in the tank. But you know what? Golf, unlike other sports, you could be old and still be good at golf. It's not necessarily a young man's game. It's not like a running back in the NFL.
Major, I agree. I think anytime you see a GOAT like this talking a big game, it gets everybody fired up. You got to love that confidence. That confidence is what made him Tiger Woods in the first place.
And think about what he overcame with the injuries and the accent and everything, right?
Not only that, the story, a few days ago, we talked about it. He's even given up sex. No women. So, right? Wasn't that the story?
Well, I think he had his fill in the 2000s.
That's true. But, I mean, so when you think about the discipline it takes to make that part of your game plan, I think it's dope, man. But, props to him going for it.
I also want you to keep in mind, Tiger Woods, we've just known him a long time. He was born in the mid-70s. The guy's in his late 40s, mid to late 40s. It's not like Tiger Woods is 60 and we're like, could he win another? He's in his 40s. It's very possible if he can overcome.
You know what he needs to do, though? He needs to take it home, as SVP says.
Shave the head?
Yeah, he has to, man. It's a bad look.
Give me one more, Danny G.
All right, one more quick one here. Police in Scotland say a reported armed man who led to a train returning to a station Turns out he was a Star Wars cosplayer on his way to a comic book convention. The police, three police, Scotland, two British transport police, two firearm officers met this guy. He was in a stormtrooper costume. He had to explain that his blaster was a plastic prop. He was, as I said, on his way to this convention. The police instead gave him a ride home. Carrying a blaster on a train, Rich, midweek or major?
I think this is the lamest story ever.
Was it cool, though, that all the real guns greeted him?
Let me tell you. That's what you get when you're a nerd that dresses up a little too elaborate for some nerd con. But, yeah, I think it's pretty funny. It's weak, but it's funny that this guy, you know, gets caught out there. You know, he's lucky he didn't get shot or something. That's the good part of the story.
Well, seems like they always miss in Star Wars anyway. So, hey, you know what, man? This is a funny story, but weak as hell. Yeah, as Monty says here on Fox Sports Radio, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Like, what a bonehead.
Yeah.
Walking around in a storm. Who does that? Are you going to defend that? Walking around, you're a grown man walking around like a stormtrooper?
Come on.
Get out of here with that.
Put the blaster in a backpack.
Yeah, with blaster.
Or as my son would say, pewers. Pew, pew.
Yeah, get out of here.
Pewers. Thank you, Danny G. Midweek Major. Hey, if we missed any stories that, caught your eye in the world of sports and entertainment, always feel free to hit us up at Covino and Rich. Usually on in the afternoon, 2 to 4, West Coast, 5 to 7, your drive home on the East Coast. Filling in for DP right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18+, 21+, in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you in for Dan and the guys here on FSR. So we are going to have a discussion about one team that's making life on themselves a little bit more difficult in the world of football. That'll be yours here in about 20 minutes from now. But here to make things easy on us is the one and only Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist at the MMQB. You can find him on Twitter or X at Albert Breer. AB, what's happening? Good morning to you.
What's up, Albert?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good. We're just now, Albert, could you be trusted? Like, if they pulled you aside and said, hey, thinking about sending you to Brazil for week one, could you be trusted to be a professional while out in Brazil covering Packers-Eagles to kick off the season on a Friday night?
Well, I'm pretty good at juggling different things. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's like a relatively high percentage chance that I'll make it to the game on Friday night. Yeah.
So you at least get to the game. That would be the that would be the goal, and then we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, I mean, although I've heard Uber rides down there can take you to weird places. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's true. That's problematic.
What type of places are?
Are you interested, Lamar?
You mean something a little strange for a little change, weird, or
anything more?
So we were talking about how there's a report out that the Vikings have set up a private meeting with Jaden Daniels, and you know, now the Commanders are meeting with Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, and they're also meeting with Jaden Daniels. And there's just like it feels like this is a lot of the run-of-the-mill sort of stuff as we gear up for the draft coming up here in a couple of weeks. But is there a draft story out there, something that you've heard or you've got any sort of intel on that you look at and go, that's interesting, that could have a real impact near the top of the draft or even in the first round?
You know, I think the one thing that already has is the Giants at least creating the perception that they're in on the quarterbacks, right? Now, whether they are or not remains to be seen, but like they're doing everything you would do if you were going to take one. You know, and so that's, you know, they had McCarthy and May in at the beginning of March, which is incredibly, incredibly early to be doing a 30 visit. Those normally happen during April, like right around now. And they went and worked a few of the guys out privately. They showed up at the pro days. So, like, you know, at least say the Giants have done all the things you would do if you were going to take one in the top 10. And, you know, like that does two things. One, it prepares them if they are going to take one. But two, it also has created this perception that they're the team that you have to jump over to get one if you want the fourth one. So, you know, Minnesota, Vegas, Denver, like if one of those teams wants to go get the fourth quarterback, now there's a perception out there that they have to get over the Giants to go get that guy. Well, could that be because that's what the Giants want out there? And if the Giants want that out there, well, what would the effect be? The effect would be that would guarantee either Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison would fall into their lap at six. So, you know, like I think that that's one of the interesting ones. I just think Denver's lurking. Like I they've been kind of quiet about their quarterback evaluation and everything else. I just know this. Like Sean Payton loved Patrick Mahomes 7 years ago and was very close to getting him, would have taken him 11th overall. They wound up Marshawn Lattimore in that spot, so a good player. But, you know, obviously things probably go a lot differently in New Orleans if, you know, Patrick Mahomes is on the roster and maybe Sean Payton's still there. And so does that linger with him? And if there is one of these guys that he really likes, does he get aggressive to go and get him? You know, right now they're starting quarterback Jared Stidham. I know, you know, Sean feels like he could go out and play a season with Jared Stidham if he needed to. I just, you know, there's a big part of me that wonders if they got another swing in them somewhere at that position.
What is the one thing you're keeping an eye on right now, given it's kind of that dead period before we actually get to the draft? Is there any potential trade, any potential signing, or something that could happen that would change the landscape of what the draft looks like coming up at the end of the month?
Yeah, I mean, I think the receivers, Brady, you know, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins. Now, like, those guys aren't on the block per se, but teams are going to call and see, you know, if either of those guys are available, you know, and I think in both those cases, you know, for those teams, there's like a big picture element, you know, they love the players, but you know, what, like if you pay T. Higgins at the top of the market, like then you're probably gonna have to pay Ja'Marr Chase more than you pay T. Higgins. And you've already got Joe Burrow in there at $55 million per. So are we talking about between the three of them? $110 million, $120 million per year. You know, and that's just in one phase of the game that you're investing that. You know, so can you do that if you're Cincinnati long-term? Or is it better to get a second-round pick for T. Higgins and then, you know, draft his replacement? You know, that's the question. Brandon Ayuk, obviously the Niners have a lot of mouths to feed, you know. They paid Fred Warner. They paid Nick Bosa. They paid Tre'Davious Ward. They paid Trent Williams. They paid Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. They paid Christian McCaffrey. You know, so, you know, if you're looking at it and, you know, like something's got to give over the next couple of years, would that something be, well, we've got a surplus at receiver right now. You know, we've got Deebo Samuel there. Kyle is really good at scouting and developing them. You know, is that where, you know, we, you know, wind up trying to save a little bit from a cash and cap standpoint? So, you know, those would be the guys I think, like, right now I would look at and say, if there's somebody that's going to be moved or talked about being moved in the next couple of weeks that could materially affect things in the draft, those would be the guys. You know, like, I think that those two guys, you know, again, they're not being shopped, but, you know, the Bengals and Niners are certainly going to get calls on them.
AB, can you put us up to speed on what's going on in Dallas? I mean, hearing about there's a possibility of a CeeDee Lamb holdout looming.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons, they're complaining about him, and too many people would be glad to see him go. This sounds like horrible dysfunction if your two top players are in the media for things like this.
Well, it's Dallas, so, I mean, dysfunction just means that it's Thursday, right?
Dang.
Yeah, but the way I look at this, I think it's similar to what we just talked about with Cincinnati, where there's like a contractual bottleneck coming, right? And the difference is that, you know, where the Bengals have one of those guys taken care of, the Cowboys have zero of their three, right? So it's Dak, it's CeeDee, it's Micah Parsons. And you can say we can wait for a year on Micah Parsons to pay him, but is he going to be okay with that, right? Like, I don't know. Maybe he won't be, you know, because his value is what it is right now. And Nick Bosa got $34 million a year last year. You know, does he want to strike while the iron's hot and push for a deal now? You know, obviously CeeDee Lamb already waited a year. And, you know, if you wait much longer, well, you know, Justin Jefferson could change the market at receiver. You know, and then how do you compensate Dak, you know, based on where the market went last year, where Joe is making $55 million a year now? Do you go to 64, do you go to 56 or 57 million? Or do you wait this one out? Like, there's a lot of big picture questions for the Cowboys there at those positions. And, you know, it's a credit to them, like, that they've been able to identify and have guys like that homegrown on their roster. But, you know, in some of these cases, waiting an extra year has sort of created this situation where now how do you take care of all these guys at once? I think it's certainly going to be a talking point over the next, you know, couple of months leading up to training camp.
He's Albert Breer joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox in for Dan Patrick and the guys here on FSR. Al, I want to ask you, because I know obviously you're in and around the area there, and I know you've been close to the organization for a long time and the Patriots. They're sitting at three.
Yep.
What is the feeling as far as what they do at that spot? Because if they don't love the separation between the second and third best quarterbacks potentially going at that point, is there a chance that that's a team that could trade back? Because it feels like they've got a lot to improve on the roster.
Yes. I think they could trade back. I think it's going to take a lot though. So what's a lot? You know, like if you look like, so the Niners spent three first round picks to move from 12 to three in 21. The Redskins did the same, moved three first round picks to go from 6 to 2 in 2012. So I think that's the starting point of any negotiation, especially for the teams that are coming from a little further down, like the Vikings, say at 11. Now the one thing the Vikings have that those other teams didn't have is they've got two first round picks this year. So they can offer, you know, the Patriots 11 and 23. You have certainty, you know where those picks are, and those guys are going to be on your roster this year, and then add another first round pick next year. So do the Patriots think about that? And beyond just that, do the Patriots not only think about that, do they think about doing that, trading down and then trading back up if they really say like J.J. McCarthy? And, you know, like they look at it and say, okay, we're going to move down and now we're going to try to move back up to 4 or 5. I think all of these things are in play with New England. And, you know, I think it's especially if you're them and you look at it and you have like May and you have May and McCarthy close. Like if you think those two guys, and they're such vastly different prospects, but like if you think that if you think there's merit to taking either guy, maybe you talk yourself into that, you know, where you trade down and back up. They're in a really interesting spot because I mean, we know Chicago's sticking at one and taking Caleb, and I'd say 99% the Commanders stick at two. I think it'll be Jaden. I'm not 99% on that part of it, but I'm almost certain they'll stay at two and take a quarterback. So, you know, being the first team, you know, in that upper group that's willing to move the pick could give you a lot of bargaining power.
Albert, you know, it's been a pretty soft, easy interview so far. I figured I'd just kind of throw you a curveball. Any thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the VP nomination with Robert F. Kennedy not going through or
on,
some
Al.
Of the conspiracy theories? Anything you got for us there, Al?
You got any thoughts on UFOs or Area 51?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't Monday. Monday was a tough day for the flat earthers, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the eclipse kind of throws a wrench
into
things.
Not sure really how you justify the eclipse then, right?
I'm not sure how you would explain that if you're a flat earther. I mean, I don't know if Hollywood has, like, some sort of curtains or something like that they can put over the sun. yeah, so that would be my first thought, just you know, talking to what you guys were talking about there. But, yeah, the Aaron Rodgers vice president, presidential campaign didn't last very long. I will say that there might have been some Jets people that were quietly pleased to see it end, but I'm not sure that they would ever admit that.
I mean, you know,
and I would also say this: there were some people in Green Bay who were entertained by it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It does feel like there's a portion of the media, whether, you know, they want to admit this or not, that is sort of rooting for the Rodgers experiment in New York to fail. Like, it does feel like that there's kind of a slanted view of him, and whether it's his political beliefs.
Oh,
COVID,
I think that
or whatnot,
exists. Yeah. No. That absolutely exists, which is why I hate that everybody has to draw everything on political lines now. Like, I'm just watching football, man. I don't need to, like, I don't need to relate everything to who's on the right or who's on the left when I'm watching a football game, you know, but that's what we've come to, I guess. And I don't want to turn this into a deeper conversation, but I guess we already have since I killed all the flat earthers about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, listen, it happens. But AB, we appreciate a few minutes of your time here on a Thursday morning. He is Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter, also lead content strategist at the MMQB. Get him on X at Albert Breer. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, AB.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, it is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you. And right now we turn it over to Nick Cope for some breaking news out of the NFL.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
All right, guys, this comes from the Twitter account verified from O.J. Simpson. Apparently O.J. has passed away, according to a post made by his family on his verified Twitter account. It says, quote, on April 10th, which was yesterday, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, signed the Simpson family. Haven't had any media reports of his death yet, but this from OJ's personal verified Twitter account.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to react to this. It is a tricky one.
Was it known that he was battling with cancer?
I saw that somewhere, that he was dealing with an illness, but I hadn't heard anything about it in some time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, obviously we know, look, playing career, you know, one of the best ever, but then that sort of takes a step back when you consider all the stuff that happened afterwards, the double murder, and many people feeling like, yeah, he did it and got away with it, just kind of was able to kind of live and do his thing and play golf and play fantasy football. And we just sort of looked past that and just kind of almost, I don't want to say we accepted it. It just almost felt like, how is he able to do all of this with that in his past? And then, right. It's, you know, you never want to see anybody
pass away. It's sad for the family. It's sad for the people that had nothing to do with the incidents that took place after his career. But this is surprising, obviously, that this came out. And so,
I think the one thing that surprised me is when you go through what he went through post-career in regards to what he's accused of criminally, and I believe convicted of civilly, at least in the civil court of law, which are two different burdens of proof. But that being said, you know, the fact that he chose to be out in the open, you know, he chose to be out in the public eye, which, you know, you realize there's going to be a lot of criticism and a lot of people who, you know, based on the allegations, believed he was guilty, believe he got away with it. So a lot of obviously mixed emotions, I'm sure, for people out there who aren't really sure how to, you know, view O.J. Simpson, because it's hard to remove, you know, what his identity was built by, which was, you know, his football career with obviously what occurred afterwards.
I mean, I still remember where I was when that trial was going on and it was announced that he was not guilty. Like, people, I mean, you cause talk about an uproar in the country, like of people feeling one way or another.
Divided the country.
Oh my gosh.
In a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, during that time. But yeah, I mean, you know, people get old and they die.
That's okay.
OJ's out of here.
All right, there you go. All right. Well put here on
Hell of
Fox
a football
Sports
player.
Radio. Yeah, he was. He all definitely right, was. You know, and that'll be that.
Yeah.
And that's that. It is the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you in for DP and the guys.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio app. Welcome in. Hope you're doing great. Dan Byers alongside my man Jason Stewart. And it is a Friday, a golf Friday, where we're, well, you know, watching the second round of the Masters, reacting to the first round of the Masters. We still have some O.J. Simpson, I guess, to discuss, whether or not he's worthy of discussion or not. And then we have a coaching hiring of papal levels. Papal levels? Is that what I got to say there,
yeah.
Dan? I'm trying to be good with it.
I'm good with that.
Okay. How you doing, Dan?
I'm great, Doug. I'm great. Masters, first round wrapping up, second round has already begun. So you've got this converging of rounds at Augusta. So, yeah, it's a great day.
It is a good day. It is a good day.
White smoke in Lexington.
White smoke in Lexington. So Mark Pope is going to be the new head coach of Big Blue Nation. And if you're sitting there going like, who in the hell is Mark Pope? Kentucky people actually know who Mark Pope is. Because he played at Kentucky. He started his career at University of Washington, transferred in and played for Rick Pitino at Kentucky, part of one of their national championship teams under Pitino. And he's been the head coach at Utah Valley State and BYU. And just this year, he took BYU to the NCAA tournament. And yeah, it's... So there's a lot to unpack there, right? Because you sit there going like, wait a second. First they were talking about Dan Hurley, who just won back-to-back national titles. Then they were talking about Billy Donovan, who won back-to-back national titles, was the last guy to do it before Dan Hurley. Then they were talking about Scott Drew, who'd won a national title and is a top 20 program year in, year out at Baylor. And now you're talking about Mark Pope, who I've never heard of before. Again, I'm taking the average college fan of some level. But I got to say, I don't hate it. I mean, are we really going to do the whole circus where you have to have been, in the SEC? Let's just do the SEC musical chairs. Like Bruce Pearl would work, but also Bruce Pearl's probably 5 years from not coaching anymore. And he already is in the SEC and you bring a guy home. And I love the people like, well, look at the recruiting classes he's had. He's at BYU.
Sure.
and people know I'm big in the Mormon community. I am. When I was in Connecticut, I literally had Mormons on each side of my house and incredible neighbors and people. So much so that I am Brother Doug to many people. I'm being only half facetious because I really do have a lot of Mormon friends. But, like, look, we all kind of know the deal. You have to sign an honor code, and they actually live up to that honor code in terms of no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll in college. And he's done some unique things at BYU, and this year they shot more threes than twos. He's played in the NBA. I don't know, like, we make it out like you have to have been some carnival barker in the past to coach at Kentucky, and maybe you could just coach because you played there and you know how to coach basketball, and we'll see if people leave him alone.
How much is it? Because I think that there are a lot of schools that feel, I think there are a lot of schools at a certain level that have a let's bring them home guy, right? Like, yeah. And it's not every school, but you have that guy. Honestly, you may be it for Oklahoma State, but that's a completely different story. The point is Kentucky seems to be this different animal, yeah, where bringing a guy home is not good enough. And I don't know if it's a, you know, third choice, fourth choice, that sort of syndrome, but it sure doesn't equate to any other basketball program in college basketball, because Kentucky really isn't like any other program in college basketball.
No. Doesn't mean it's not a precursor for success. You know, I mean, Billy Gillespie, when he went there, I mean, everyone, myself included, would have said, man, that'll work, right? But I also think that part of it is the timing of how things went down, in that many of these coaches had already turned down like a different job, whether it's the Arkansas job or any of these other jobs, the Louisville job. And so they had already gone back to their athletic directors who had, you know, promised them more money and promised them more NIL, and or some of them just have these ridiculous buyouts. And maybe you just sat there and go like, okay, like Mick Cronin would be great, but I got to pay a $16 million buyout, and why would I can bring a Kentucky guy home? Obviously, I mean, I believe that every school is different, but for my school, I thought bringing somebody home is important because the basketball coach, the football coach, the baseball coach, the now retiring wrestling coach, John Smith, all alums. And I do think that in recruiting, recruiting is telling a story, right, of what your 4 years or, you know, 1, 2, 3 years will look like. And when you're recruiting to your school, you're telling your story. There is some definite risk, because if it doesn't work, now all of a sudden do you cut that part of your history or of the school's history off if you lose, right? But there's also a ton to be gained for when it's your guy. There's a lot, maybe more loyalty. There's an ability to translate what it's like to be a part of Kentucky's Big Blue Nation. And by the way, as much as we could sit here and go, hey, he's not as accomplished as X, Y, and Z, if we're looking at the five biggest jobs, right, the two others on the Eastern Seaboard, right, North Carolina and Duke, they're both coached by alums, both of whom were never head coaches before they got that job. So, like, you can be critical of Mark Pope's hiring in comparison to if you were going to hire Dan Hurley, but whatever you think of what they're doing at North Carolina, having gone to a Final Four 2 years ago, three seasons ago, whatever, this year they were a one seed. Last year, obviously disappointed, didn't make the tournament. And at Duke, John Shire is an alum, and they had never coached before at all as head coach. They've been assistant coaches, but had never been head coaches at all. And then, of course, at UCLA, you have Mick Cronin, who was a well-decorated head coach before he got that job. And then Kansas was Bill Self, and of course, he was a well-decorated head coach. So there's no one perfect way to thread this thing.
I do think Duke and North Carolina are a bit unique because of who their predecessors were.
Sure, succession plan.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
And that makes it tricky. Kentucky is also sitting there saying, and timing of it isn't a factor because it's Kentucky. Not that the timing's even off. It's different if a coach would leave during the summer, but we're right out of the gates of the Final Four. I think it's the fact of they also couldn't get what they wanted. They were turned down, or the fan base feels that they were turned down by those other options.
It's funny because it's like the fan base turning on one of their own in Mark Pope. is the exact reason that a lot of these coaches are like, whoa.
Sure.
it's like, what movie is it? Is it, is it Kingpin? What? Yeah, I think it's Kingpin where he says, who are you calling psycho? Yeah. You know? It's like, man, your fans are crazy. That's why coach is like, what do you mean our fans are crazy? We just didn't want to hire some guy that we don't like. He's like, what? But he's one of your own.
And he's one of your own.
Who are you calling psycho?
From one of your best teams that you've ever had as a school. Yes. You know, that 96 squad was amazing.
I know Mark. It's actually this is actually one of my funnier stories. So when I was working at CBS, there was a year where I did 13 UNLV games. UNLV home games, 13. I was living in Southern California like I am now. And I was doing all those Mountain West games, and they were really good. Dave Rice was the head coach. By the way, Dave just got a junior college head coaching job after, I think it's Snow Junior College, I think, which is in Salt Lake City. I believe that's the one he just got. Congrats to you, Dave. And he was at Cal Baptist. So I would take off, and it got to the point where I was like, hey, do you guys mind if I just like fly in day of the game? They're like, yeah, no problem. You know, from where I lived is like 10 minutes to Orange County Airport, and Orange County Airport's a 45-minute flight, and the games were at 8, and I would get done at 3, and I'd get on a flight at like 4, land at 5, and just go directly to Thomas & Mack, which is right off the runway. That's where UNLV plays. And so without fail, I would land, and I would text Dave Rice, hey, man, do you mind if I come up to the office? And usually I would go right up. Well, one of my numbers for Dave Rice, it was Mark Pope's number because Dave had been at BYU as an assistant coach, and he gave Mark his number for his school cell phone. So it was one of those where I would just, without looking, I had multiple Dave Rice numbers and typed in Dave Rice, and all of a sudden Mark Pope would start this conversation with me as if he was Dave Rice, but he was really Mark Pope. He's like, hey, Doug, it's actually Mark Pope. Wrong number. So I had like a probably 3-month-long text exchange going on with Pope.
Were you catfished by Mark Pope?
I was catfished by Mark Pope. That's exactly what I was. He's a great dude. He's very bright, very funny. I know people that have worked for him that like him. He's an immensely likable guy. Which, of course, gives me all the fear in the world that he's going to Kentucky and those people will change him into some demonic figure. But I don't think that's going to happen. You know? And you can go and point out all these different coaches you could have had or whatever. But the truth is that you're kind of annoying. That's how people view you. I know. I'm kind of annoying. Right? In a different way. And like, if you're Kentucky, it's okay to not be for everybody. Lots of coaches were not people's first choice. Dana Altman was famously like not anybody's first, second, third, fourth, fifth choice at Oregon. That guy is amazing. This is one of those. We also will also do a thing where we criticize the what's it called when you hire a search firm. Everybody always criticizes when you hire a search firm. It's because they don't know what search firms actually do. Search firms make it so that you don't know who you're reaching out to, that all of the background work is already done, so that when you go and make a hire, like had they gone out and just been negotiating with Mark Pope, it would have been a much easier sale. All of these jobs, I mean, Louisville was open for, everyone knew was coming open forever. And you get the sense that who turned it down. But if you don't know who turned it down, it doesn't look nearly as bad. And that's the beauty to the search firm is like, wow. And you could also pass it off as, well, that's just the search firm doing what the search firm does. Because Mark Pope had turned around BYU basketball this year. He won at Utah Valley State previously, which is like a college, it's basically in the shadow of BYU, but, you know. And, I don't hate it. I'd like to see a guy get a chance at a higher level. And it's the old question, if you can do that at BYU, what can you do at Kentucky? You know, and the criticism of John Calipari was, Well, you know, that act had kind of run tired. So this guy has a completely different pitch spiel. I think a more, you got to develop some talent now. You got to recruit out of the portal now. You got to be more creative now. Because the old days of lining up and trying to get the five best high school products doesn't work. Doesn't work. There's a myriad of reasons. We can do a whole radio show. And I do think it'll get back to closer to working. The G League Ignite went away. If Overtime Elite goes away, I think, and with all the NIL and kids reportedly making, you know, seven figures, I think more and more kids will go to and stay in college. But when they stay in college, again, it makes it harder to win with younger players. So doing the same thing over and over again, even though it's been successful for Kentucky for a while, that doesn't mean it's always going to work when the landscape has changed. But I just think it's hilarious that Kentucky fans don't understand how they are perceived and how that perception drives a lot of people away. And the perfect example of it is the massive overreaction to one of their own, a Kentucky alum who just took his team to the NCAA tournament, getting the job, being met with, it's kind of like when you drink cough syrup when you're a kid.
Oh, jeez, what is that?
I find it hilarious that they would rather have Bruce Pearl and Rick Pitino, not because of their coaching ability, yes, but because of what Pitino had. He went to Louisville. Bruce Pearl has been a thorn in the side of Kentucky, whether he be at Tennessee or at Auburn or whatever. They would rather have those options than to have one of their own who, again, won a national championship with them almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I love it, and people like to talk about loyalty, and then when you bring in one of your own, you know, you're not – people are so disloyal and don't even want to give it a chance. So, and then, of course, you have the Pope, the fact that he's the Pope – and it's the head coach of Kentucky. And I think you tweeted out yesterday with the white smoke.
Yes, yes. Right? 6 likes, I think it got.
Well, I liked it. I don't know if I actually liked
it. But you appreciated it.
I appreciated it, even if I didn't like it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.